Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I try not to rattle paper. I'm going to talk about shame tonight. It's just shame. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Cheryl. I'm from Florida. And it's going to be a good night. I'm not going to shrink back anymore. We're going to be bold. We're going to be strong because the Lord, our God, is with us. And that's what I heard when I laid my head down to rest a minute tonight. Thank you, Father. I was going to pray, oh Lord, maybe we'll just wait a little bit and play it later. But I want to say I'm having a good night and hope everybody else is, and I hope Julie's better. I think she is. Our guest call-in number is 319-527-6027. And I'll be taking callers in about 20 minutes or so, maybe sooner. I don't have a whole lot to say tonight, but I do think that God is going to deliver us from some deep shame. And I'm not talking about that we've done terrible things, but I'm talking about things that, you know, it's like layers that we've just kind of not even paid attention to since childhood. This morning, the Lord kind of reminded me that I have this deep inner thing sometimes that just tries to get on me, that I feel like there's not enough space on this earth for me, and I'm almost apologizing for being alive. And I know that sounds crazy, but
I'm not from, but I have to watch myself because it's been such a pattern all my life, and I know the Lord has delivered me from quite a bit. But He's just wanting to completely, I think, deliver us from all shame. And I'm talking not the kind that, you know, when you do something bad and you feel shame and you go to God. I'm talking about emotional, deep-seated stuff from our childhood that's just kind of like played into our personality a little bit. And the Lord is really, in this time, wanting to reorder and restructure some things. He reminded me that He rebuilds on ancient ruins. And we've got some ancient ruins on the inside of us. Just some things that we have quietly lost hope and silently lost hope in. And he caught me when apologizing or saying something like, I was just saying, and he said, why do you have to use that word just? Why do you have to use certain words? And I thought about it, and there was a time and place where I felt like, you know, maybe that I wasn't even worth my salt. I felt that way in my lifetime before, and the Lord has come in and showed me my worth, His blood, first of all, that was shed on Calvary, tells us all of our self-worth, tells us all that we have worth. We're worth enough for the King of Kings and the Lord, Lords, to give His life, blood, and God to give His only Son. So we all have worth to the Father. It's just a thing of us knowing that deep on the inside. So Iris was supposed to get on with me tonight, and I don't see her. But I would like you guys to, everybody that has something input about shame or something the Lord's given you, to maybe share if you have something tonight. There she is. Let me get her on. Iris, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I was just telling them that the Lord spoke to me about shame this afternoon, shame this morning. Mm-hmm. And if anybody has anything that God has spoken to you about shame, and I'm talking, wow, as I shared with them, deep. I'm not talking about, okay, I did something wrong, I have shame, even though it might have been there. You know, maybe that's happened today. I don't know. But I'm talking this morning, God was dealing with me about deep shame, the kind that we've kind of grown up with in our life, about our personalities or about our insecurities or our imperfections, even in our body, even in just being a person. We all have things that we're not like, we don't like about ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things I don't like about myself, lots, and I have to just like, oh, you know, but I don't know,
right.
God wants to do something with some of that, so tonight, and I was just saying, if you have anything, or if anybody else has anything they want to share, but God did give me a few scriptures. Can Iris, do you mind looking up that be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. So we can just read
I'll
that.
Let me look it up.
Right. And then while you do that, I'm going to read what he said to me this morning. And I actually posted something on it. Let's see if I can read that. And then we'll go back and read the other. But, you know, God wants us to all shine with his glory and his presence. Let's see. Here we go.
Are you talking about Joshua when the Lord commanded him to be strong?
Right.
Is that the one you're speaking of?
Yes, yes. Okay, this is what I wrote, Warren. This is what I said. Never, never be afraid to shine. The Lord told Israel to arise and shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The beauty of the Lord has risen upon his beloved. Stop shrinking back from the beautiful person he has made you. His beloved, as his beloved, we are salt and light to the world. He wants us to shine. Be all that he has made you to the fullest. Be all that he has made you. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We talked about that the other night, or sang about it. We actually sang about it. His spirit covers and hovers over us. Our eyes are upon him at his table as he anoints us with his holy presence, his spirit. The oil and wine that causes us to shine. At his table, we learn to love as he does. He is the beautiful one. He is the beautiful one. He has chosen us to live through, though. Okay? He lives inside of you. We are loosed from the maze of our human weaknesses, and those who sit in his presence are filled with joy. We're filled with him, and we can love those who despise us and those who are jealous of us, those who hate us and are full of strife. And many times that's why we shrink back in shame. If someone is displeased with us around us, that's one thing that will make you kind of on the inside just shrink back just a little bit, you know. So don't be afraid to arise and shine and be humble. That sounds like an oxymoron, But when we are full of his joy and we love, we will shine for and to the glory of God and not to the glory of man. He will judge our hearts and motives, but he is the reason that we shine. So the Lord is wanting us to shine. He's not wanting us to shrink back or be timid. So will you read that be bold thing, Iris?
Yeah. It was Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. And doesn't Joshua mean Jesus in the Hebrew?
Yeah, Yeshua, I think.
The Lord Jesus, you know. Okay, let's see. In the God's Word translation, I command you, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be terrified, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's all different translations. In the Jubilee Bible, it says, see that I command you to be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with thee wherever thou goest.
Wow.
So everywhere you go, he wants us to be. Everywhere we go, he wants us to be strong. But it's where we're weak, he makes us strong.
Right. So we, in a way, we've just put on that. We put him on in many ways. But I think what I'm just saying tonight is that he's just going to he's going to begin to, and we're speaking this and we're prophesying this, he's going to heal us from those areas where we don't feel like, and I've spoken to people, my friends before, about, you know, you have to walk on, you've had to walk on eggshells around certain people so long, you just feel like you have to walk on eggshells everywhere. And the Lord doesn't want us to be that way on the inside. I even feel it tonight. And, you know, sometimes people doing their stuff against us makes you feel that way. I can feel it when certain people start doing their stuff, and I generally even know who it is, you know, or who I think it is anyway. But, you know, I can rebuke it, and that stuff lifts off of me. So, you know, it's the, of course, it's the enemy. It's not flesh and blood, but flesh and blood is the tool that the enemy works through. So God has given us power over that stuff. But the thing about it is, if that stuff has something inside of us to hook up to, then bingo. Then bingo. So what God is wanting us to do is not to allow that in us, that we love ourselves, that we realize that God loves us, that we've been bought with a price, that we're important, and we have worth to God, and that we are worth spending time with and getting our lives in order and preparing, and that, you know, now that I don't have a lot of people around me to, you know, my children are out of the house, there is actual time, and God has spoken to me. I want you to take time every now and then, do your own hair. Not that I'm a self-sacrifice person who never does anything for myself. That's not it. But he wants us. That's not it at all, because I do. But he wants a new order. He wants to rebuild our lives on some of the ruins. And he does that. He does it on purpose, on the ruins in our own lives, because that's just how he is. He is a good God, and he wants good things for us. And if he is good, then we can be good. You know, then we have value, because he lives, one reason he lives inside of us. So stop apologizing for being on this earth. And that's kind of like tiptoeing on and around certain people who don't like us. I remember having a dream one time with someone who was, I didn't even know what, you know, when you're raised a certain way with certain people, you don't know. You just think everybody kind of loves you. And even if they're, they have ill intentions towards you, that, you know, you kind of identify that with love, but you feel messed up. You know, it's like they love me, but I'm somehow messed up. Well, sometimes it's their jealousies that they're projecting on you that make you feel like you're Cinderella in your own little corner, in your own little chair kind of thing. This is where I'm going to live and this is where I'm going to stay. And God gave me this dream that I had this person down by the neck. What does he do? And he shows us things. And I was telling her, I'm not going to live down to your jealousies anymore. Now, I didn't hurt her or anything, but I had her down going, this is it, sis. Can't do this no more. I just said sis as a pun. I can't do this no more. It's not going to happen. But I was coming to that self-realization that when I got around this person, I would actually shrink back because of the attack on my person, on my very person that was there. And it was a spirit of jealousy. Later on, it has been evident over and over and over again. That was a spirit of jealousy that helped literally mold my life. This person had a huge role in my life. So I literally molded my part of my being, my inner man, around this. And that's the type of thing I think God is wanting to deal with tonight. What and bring attention to, not that we would hurt people or put them down on the floor, but for us to realize what, and sometimes he brings things back around and shows us, this is what you're dealing with in your childhood. This is why you are the way you are. This is your makeup. And it's caused ruin in some of us. It's caused ruin. It's caused us not to be and go for the calling. It's called us not to run for the prize. It's like that old, you know, you only, you know, they put this insect or certain types of whatever's, frogs or whatever, in this box, and they will only jump so high. If you take the lid off, they still only jump that high because they're just used to jumping that far. And God has taken the lid off and he's showing us there's air up there. We can actually breathe. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I might be just talking to myself. I don't know. But I think all of us have those places. Aris, if you have anything on that, just feel free. I know I just went off on a tangent, but.
I don't know. You had called me earlier and I said, you know, Lord, you know, I really don't have anything, but what are you saying? And I heard the word, what I was thinking about, I mean, Sarah came to mind, and Eve came to my mind,
mm-hmm.
and how that, whenever I studied something about Abraham and Sarah years ago, I was just really surprised whenever I saw the meaning of pleasure, because it was Sarah, whenever she laughed, you know, and Sarah laughed within herself. She had inadequacies, and she was old, and she was barren, and she saw all the negative things about herself. She laughed within herself, you know, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? And that word pleasure means, it means, oh, where is it? It means delights, and it means delicates. It's like a type of luxury. Finery, delight, and she just she said, can I have pleasure? Sometimes it's like, well, I missed it. In her younger days, you know, she had no children, you know, and it's like the Lord said, you know, well, take her, you know, Sarah, take it back to the Garden of Eden when God created and everything was birthed. And then I looked up the word Eden, and the word Eden also means pleasure and delight. I think that was the word, the same word that.
I'm sure they had nothing but pleasure in Eden. It was paradise.
Right. Yeah. Everything was there. Yeah, that's what the Hebrew word, here it is. It does mean paradise. And everything that they had need of was there. Where was it? Excuse me. Yeah, pleasure. It means pleasure. And, you know, whenever he created Adam and Eve in the garden, whenever I looked down at the end of it, you know, there they were in the garden. And I just found this while ago, and I was like, oh, there's the word shame. But it said that they were naked, and he and his wife, and they were not ashamed, but confounded. They wasn't the word means shame means confounded. It means confusion. The Hebrew word means confusion. It means delayed. So it means disappointed. So they were not confused, and they wasn't. I mean, they're the words stark naked, you know, and there was no embarrassment. There was no shame. I mean, they were in the environment of where God had created them to be, in the nature of everything, and there was no confusion, and there was no embarrassment. There was no delays, because they were living in God's time zone with pleasure everywhere. And
they weren't self-conscious. I've heard people teach on this. And the idea was, part of the idea, not the whole idea, was that they had no self-consciousness. They had not sinned yet.
Right.
Sin had, the destruction of sin had not come in their lives, and that they were clothed in the, possibly clothed in the glory even then, you know.
Yeah. But like you said, they had not sinned yet. What I love about it is whenever they did, that the Lord's grace and his mercy and his loving kindness, they hid because they had shame. And they covered them themselves up because they had shame. And God went looking for them because he was used to having fellowship with them early in the morning, late in the evening. He wanted fellowship. He wanted communion with them. He wanted union with them. He wanted to talk, you know, be their friend. And, you know, that he went hunting for them. God chased, you know, and there they are. You know, they covered themselves up. He said, I have a covering for you. You don't have to be ashamed. I'm going to make a provision for you. And for sacrifice, he covered them in skins. So, you know, they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. I guess it was fig leaves. And we don't have to cover ourselves. We've been made righteous through the covenant blood of Jesus and through everything that Jesus did for us.
Yeah, well, the whole thing in that was that they hid.
Right.
Or they were timid. They were ashamed. And they shrunk back. And so that's the part that I want to zero in on, if we can, because that's a part where we can identify with, you know, maybe it isn't because we've sinned, maybe it's because of someone else's sin that we feel pushed around in life, or that we don't feel like we can fulfill even the call of God on us because of some deep mess like that, you know, of not even being, you know, going for it. I know when people's done stuff to me that, like, you know, you just stop, put down a guitar. I've known people that put down an instrument. I've done it myself. Put down an instrument or quit singing because I get hurt or something. You know, we shy away. I wouldn't, now this is the honest God truth. This is how I am and how I shy away from stuff. God is changing that. But I wouldn't even listen to Christian music. You remember that, Iris, when I said, I want to hear it.
Right.
I got hurt so bad around Christian music and Christian, quote unquote Christian. I was still a Christian, but I didn't want nothing to do with the music or nothing. You know, some people don't want anything to do with church. They love God, but they don't want nothing to do with it. You know, but God wants to heal that stuff in us so that we don't shrink back and that we can go forward in life. And we just shut down areas. Boom. Talking about hiding. Not even hide. We just shut it down. Go in the cave and say, that's it. So.
I think when you say cave, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the word cave. It means a memorial. Think about a memorial, and you know, they're even tearing down memorials all through our nation, you know, and and how that gathering said he hid in the caves, and that word cave means a memorial. He had strongholds, he had memorials. It's in mindset, in the way he thought. And it separated him from his family. He was naked. Also, he was, you know, hurting himself, cutting himself. He was around. There was no life around him. He was isolated until, you know, Jesus came to him. And he recognized Jesus. But whenever I read that, memorials, you think about it. Huh?
Memory.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
Strongholds. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Look at Elijah, how he went into the cave. You know, fear, Jezebel.
Oh, yeah.
And everything that was in the gathering left him, and it was destructive. You know, it was trying to keep him away from his family, trying to destroy him because it destroyed the pigs. So, you know, those legions of demons went into the pigs. Picture of it or the type,
you know, and yeah, too. I know we need deliverance. So I'm talking about just plain out all healing, just like people need just to know. Sometimes you just need somebody to tell you you're really beautiful,
right?
You're really beautiful just the way you are. I like to hear you. You know, I like to see you. I like to hear you. This old man today said something to me at the pool. He just said, I mean, he's there every day. He's, you know, he wasn't trying to he was, you know, people when they're trying to come on to you or whatever, he complimented me. And, you know, he said something about my hair and who I look like and stuff, and he made a joke, you know what I mean? And I said, you know, he had no idea what I had been dealing with this morning. And for somebody to just say, hey, you know, just sometimes can just make your day, you know, when you're just, you know, we're feeling bummed. Now I'm okay. I'm just saying God's zeroing in and I'm letting him, because the wall's down and I'm vulnerable. God, you want to heal something in me? Go right ahead. Here I am. And really, if, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Healing is an ongoing thing in our lives. So sometimes we just need to be told you're beautiful, you know? And, and it's not so much a big devil. You know, the devil caused it, but God wants to heal it. You know, the devil come in with the wounding, but God wants to heal the wound. You know, pour on the oil and the wine, shine. And yeah. Sometimes you need to be told, look, you shine. Get up and go do what you're called to do. Get up and take care of yourself. Put your life back in order. It's time. And I really think that's what God's saying. It's time. I want to rebuild here. I want to rebuild. He's building PGN. It's a beautiful place. I mean, sometimes God deals with me. You know, are you kidding? Look at what I'm doing. Don't take it lightly what I'm doing with PGN. You know, pray for people. We need to pray for one another and remember one another. We get so busy. But he's wanting to rebuild and restructure. I think he's wanting to do it in the body and in the church. But people need patterns. Not patterns, but examples. You know, when I think of reordering and restructuring, I think of people who have a disciplined, ordered, and structured life. Now, there's time and a season for all things. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And sometimes in our life, we can't have this ordered, structured system in our life, you know, because God is doing other things. He's tearing down some things in our life. He tears down and he builds up. Now, when I say tear down, I don't mean God is destroying us or anything, but he has to tear some things down to restructure. You know what I'm saying? Am I making myself clear on that, Iris? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that we are flexible. And then when he gets us flexible, sometimes he'll say, okay, now I want you to rebuild and get structured back here, 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 and here. Because sometimes in our life, he teaches us just to be able to flow with God, with him, to serve one another. And so he has to restructure our lives for us to become a servant, so to speak, or restructure our lives so we learn to flow with one another. But honestly, I think this is a time where some of the things that he's torn down in our lives that he wants to build in those areas and rebuild so that we're not the same. He doesn't want us stuck in the same shell. He wants us to graduate our shells, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to say a word that it's not coming to me. It's not our environment that we live in. On the inside, the environment that we live on the inside. It's like Randy said, God's tearing down a wall. Oh my gosh, do you ever feel vulnerable when he's doing that? You know, when he's saying, "Come out of your little clamshell. I got a bigger one for you now." You know, Come out of that little protection zone you've lived in forever, that this has been your protection, because I'm going to enlarge your space here on the inside. Think of the inside. So anyway, I don't know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're doing this tonight, even while we're talking about it. God, you're healing hearts tonight. You're healing my heart. And God, I thank you that you're healing other people's hearts, Lord, that you are the boldness of the Lord is going to be upon our lives, and the beauty of our God, and that we're going to be God conscious. You're taking us out of self-conscious, that we're just clothed in your glory again, and that we're bought with a price, a high price. And our lives are not our own. That he's calling us out of our shells. Come out, and come in. Come into my glory again. Come in. You're beautiful in my sight, and I have things I want you to do. I don't want you to be ashamed of who you are, because the Lord says, I'm not ashamed of who you are. I love you with an everlasting love, and I'm proud of you. And does the Lord say I'm proud of you? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And we need to hear that and accept that on the inside.
The King, King Jesus, is calling, is calling, just like King David called for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's name means image breaker. And he was dropped at 5 years old by his nanny or his nurse. And many times we've been dropped, but five is grace. God gives us grace. He was crippled. That drop in him crippled him. He was literally physically crippled with his legs, his feet. And all his siblings were all deceased. And he was in Lodabar. Lodabar means without pasture. And there's so many people out, Christians that are without pasture. They don't have the good shepherd to nurture them, to pull the oil and on them, and to anoint them, and give them affirmation, and to, you know, get the bugs off of them, and you know, keep them protected. And Mephibosheth was like that, because he was hiding, because all his siblings, you know, David was king, and usually back then they got rid of everybody, you know, Saul's family, and he was Saul's son's son, Saul's grandson. And so he was in Lodabar without pasture. But King David said, is there anybody in the house of Saul and Jonathan that I can bless? And they said, Mephibosheth, the image breaker. His image was broken. His family was gone. He was crippled. And he couldn't take care of himself. The king sent for him. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth is calling and searching out for Mephibosheth. It means image breaker. You know, the image has to be broken and come into the king's house. And David said, you're going to get your inheritance. When we come to Christ, we get everything that Jesus Christ and the crosses and the death, burial, and resurrection and virgin birth, everything that Christ did for us, we've inherited that. Our salvation, our healing, our deliverance. You know, sure, we go through these horrible things in life, but Mephibosheth, he sat underneath, he sat at the king's table. And the Lord has a table, a beautiful table set for us. And you couldn't see when we sit in the presence of the king and receive our inheritance. We're not crippled. You know, he heals us of those things. And those images are broken off of us. We're a king's kid. We're royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that we've been called out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. And I just love that story. And the first,
yeah.
I remember the first. Huh?
That is awesome. That is very fitting and real good. You were going to say, remember the first. I want to put some people on. I want to put the people who have their hands up on with us. If anybody has anything to say, or you can say it. And just kind of like be patient, not, you know, with us. And if you have anything else, ours, to finish up before we put people on. No? Okay, that was beautiful. But that is, his name means image breaker. So thank you, God, that God is changing our, what does he do? He transforms our image on the inside. He does that. He tells us we're new creatures in Christ. That is so awesome. And that, you know, when we still have a poor identity, that we can identify with the Lord. That is so awesome. Okay, I'm going to put you people on. If you got noise in the background, kind of like, don't turn it off. Okay, so I've got, I've got four of you guys on. If you're listening, if you have anything to say about shame, or if you need prayer about shame, it's how we want to start off. But we're going to take the rest of you, too. So the people that I muted, if you have anything to say, go for it.
Hello?
I know somebody's got something. God wouldn't have me do this for no reason.
Hello?
Yes. Hey. Who am I speaking with and where are you calling from?
Oh, is it me? This is Ann.
Hey, Ann. How are you?
Hi. I'm okay. I need prayer. I quit smoking. God set me free totally from smoking.
Uh-huh.
But I've gained at least 12 pounds since I quit smoking, and it's only been 3 weeks, and I feel very ugly, and
this shit ain't right.
Girl.
What's that?
Thank the Lord. I say congratulations. mess with you, you know. That is awesome, Anne.
I know. It was really a God thing. I felt all the demons leaving in my mind being cleared, but now I'm eating so horribly and I'm trying to control myself and I can't, and I'm trying to drink more water, and
I feel very ugly. So God definitely was like saying shame, and so that'll make us feel, definitely weight makes us feel ashamed. Oh my gosh, yes, I can relate. But
yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. First, the thing about it is that I know what's going to come down, and I know what's going to come down, but the Lord wants to tell you you're beautiful and that he's proud of you, okay? He is very, very proud. And sometimes, you know, we have to have a diversion, and so we just got to find you a diversion that's not going to, you know, be so hard on your body, right? But you do. Anytime that you make one habit, you got to pick up a good habit, you know, and, you know, a better habit. And so, you know, something good to do good, you know, for you, something that will make you better. So we're going to pray that you find that. Wait a minute, somebody's talking. Who is that? I've got all you guys on unmute, so everybody's got to kind of like
If you don't want, if you can't, if things can't be quiet, just mute us. You know, go ahead and mute yourself. But where was I at? That was so good. God was giving me something.
That I have to make a good habit, a diversion.
Oh yeah, and God a diversion. But God has given me the pool where I can swim and swim like a fish, you know, and something that you really enjoy, and is good for you, that makes you look better, feel better, but I would have never ended up there had not I asked the Lord. I said, God, I hate this gym. I'm sick of it. I would go literally sit there and look at it and wouldn't go in. And I would text people or read the Bible or do anything. But I hated going in that gym. And I probably wanted to find another gym. But what I'm saying is there's something for you. And something to make. And what God's wanting us to do is rebuild on the ruins and spend time on ourselves. Care for yourself, do your hair. I mean, God said, even, you know, you never do your hair. I'm just saying there's certain things he's wanting us to do for ourselves that we haven't done before. Not that we don't ever do anything, I'm not going there. I don't even care I'm not even going to think about that anymore, what people think. I'm not trying to be that I'm also self-sacrificing. I'm just saying God wants to zero in on us and say, I'm proud of you. You're beautiful, and let's find something to make your life better.
Okay.
I'm prophesying that to you right now, that this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And that he sees you beautiful. Go ahead, Iris. Now I'm going to cut Iris loose on you.
Cheryl. His mercies are new every morning. I battled with addiction, with food. I'm a country girl, and everything always made from scratch. Cheryl's eaten, and her mom was an excellent cook. But anyway, it was sugar and addiction, food. I would eat when I was nervous, or I was mad, or it was, or if I wanted to talk and nobody listen, you know, or if I wanted to talk to my husband about something that was bothering me, you know,
Iris,
I didn't want to hear it.
Iris, honestly, I want you to tell this, but I want you to remember that she does not have an addiction to food. It may work, but she hasn't, I mean, it's, so, and that we do have to, and I'm going to just say this before you finish, before you get into it, that sometimes we do need to go from one thing to another just for a season or a time to get off of it, okay?
Right.
Just human nature to do something.
Right.
So,
if
you talk too much about being delivered from food right now, it's going to confuse her. She want to go back to cigarettes. We did not want to do that too much, okay?
Oh. It was a habit formed, and out of frustration, like, you know, but the total opposite happened to me. Whenever I quit smoking, I lost 20 pounds. It was just bizarre. But it's like whenever you take something away, like Cheryl said, you have to fill it up with something else. Like she started swimming, and I did the same thing. I started exercising, and then I got bigger because I exercised too much. I built muscle. But it's like you just ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to fill that void, because you have it all, the answer already in you. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Control, and it's like something you can grow, you know, but you can't, you know, you can walk out of it with the Lord. All things are possible, you know, to them that believe. And where we're weak, He makes us strong. And I just told the Lord, I said, I'm weak in this area, you know, and I could just look at something. And then one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, you didn't want that till you saw it. After about Eve in the garden, she didn't. She looked at it, you know, and then she started thinking of it. But it, that turned me around in a lot of areas. With
okay.
And I didn't want it until I saw it. Or if you were watching TV, just a thought in your mind, and you do it. But training the mind, casting
yeah.
down the vain imaginations, you know. And it's beautiful that you quit smoking. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. What,
well, that,
you are
that
beautiful.
Is that I had tried for 4 years, and I've had prayer so many times, and I always returned to it. And this time, it was completed. I did it. God did it.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
Yes. Yes.
That is awesome. Well, so let's just pray. Thank you, Father, for Anne, and we thank you for Grace. We thank you, God, that this is her that you're speaking to, that she's beautiful just the way she is, Lord, and that you see her as beautiful, and that you're proud of her, and that you're wanting to rebuild her life on some ruins, God. And where she is weak, that you are making her strong, and that you are wanting her to get her life organized and structured in a way where she can add to her life and pamper herself and enjoy life and even enjoy the new health that she's going to have. And we just thank you, God, that you're going to strengthen her and show her what to do. And some of the things that the Lord was saying to me was that get on a, try to get back on a, I can't even think of the word. Schedule.
Schedule, yes.
Schedule and prepare. Okay. So he's wanting us to schedule our lives and prepare. And kind of, you know yourself, and you know when you're going to want to do whatever, and try to either get food that is good for you or food that's not going to be high calories, and just prepare for it. So if you're gaining weight, you know, maybe take up walking or, like I already said, exercise. Prepare, get foods healthy for you. And that is not too high calorie. And don't be too hard on yourself right now, because you are breaking a habit. And
okay.
It's just like our Irish, you know, has really been, you know, a help to me with diet. And she showed me how to eat, not to eat, you know, the whole dessert. If you think you got to have dessert, eat a piece of it. Trick your body. If I have a little bit of something, I really can walk away from it. Now, not always, but, you know, you trick your body and make it think it's getting something it's not, you know. You can do,
okay.
You got to find out what makes you click and tick, you know.
Okay.
But,
I did join Weight Watchers, but I could afford to join the Weight Watchers, but I can't afford to buy the healthier food now. Even when I quit smoking, I don't know how I ever had the money for the smoking.
Right.
So, like, I get paid this Friday, so I was thinking of making, a menu of some soups, because I like hot stuff to make me feel like I ate something. So I'm going to make some healthy soups and get some salad.
That's great, Anne. That sounds like a plan. Okay, so what is your phone number, your first three digits of your phone number?
920.
Okay, so I'll know which one's two, you.
Yeah, 279.
Also, so you're on a budget, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I don't know if you've ever did this, but I had to ask God to forgive me because years and years, whenever I was a teenager, I looked in the mirror and I said, I hate you. Why were you ever born? I didn't like myself. And the Lord showed me that he had created me in secret while I was in my mother's womb. He knitted me together and made me unique. And that I was only one of a kind. And that God doesn't make junk. And he said, you're hating the very thing that I created. And
yeah.
Ask him to forgive me. I was looking in the mirror at an image that I didn't like. And I more or less broke that curse off my life. And received myself for who God created me to be.
That is good.
We can love ourselves where we can take care of ourselves. Like Cheryl said, get your hair done and nails done, you know, and exercise and diet and whatever, you know. Love ourselves, not to the point of idolatry, but he doesn't want us to, our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. That's very encouraging.
Praise God.
Yes, glory to God.
Well, Anne, stay on with us. And I'm going to go to the next caller because I've got to get off and we only have just a little bit of time tonight. And so all I can say is congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, 682, you're on the line.
Hello.
Already. Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to have a word from the Lord about my living situation.
Is this Lacey? Maya?
Yes.
Maya?
Yes,
okay.
I've never called you before. This is my first time calling you.
Okay. Your living situations. Father God, I just thank you. I've got people trying to call me. I've got to turn my phone off. I am not a person that can just pop something off like that. Would you care to share what?
I didn't know what. I thought you were. I thought it was like Randy. I've never called this one before. That's okay.
I can pray for you. Your living situation, if you'd like. I mean, I can start off, but I'm just not. You know, I may not give you.
That's okay. I'll just ask Randy.
Okay, sweetie.
I'll call. Okay,
alrighty.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so 470235. Cheryl.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you to pray, you know, my husband and I, my children, we've been separated, and he filed for divorce 2 years ago, and you know, I got a great prophetic word back in August, and, you know, then it seemed like so much came against me, and I hadn't seen my children in the last 2 weeks, you know, and God had asked me, did I want reconciliation or custody, and I told him reconciliation. I had already been told I would get custody, but things have just, so many things have happened. And I've made some mistakes, and, you know, I just, you know, I know God, he hates divorce. I don't know what to pray, you know, but that's just my situation.
What is your name? I didn't catch your name.
Davey.
Who?
Davy. My name's Davy.
Davy?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you calling in about a year ago?
No, ma'am.
No?
I haven't called in.
Okay, because your story sounds like a lady who was calling in and then we didn't hear. Okay, so you want reconciliation. Does your husband want reconciliation?
He's the one who filed for divorce 2 years ago.
Oh.
So, but God, God asked me, did I want reconciliation or custody? You know, if reconciliation was not possible, or if it was not, I don't know. I mean, he wouldn't have asked if it weren't possible.
Right.
Is all I'm saying.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, anything's possible with God, when we have wills anyway. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for, first of all, we thank you for Davy, the precious, precious woman of God that she is, and the strength of the Lord that is upon her life. Lord God, I thank you for that strength that you have, through these years, you have strengthened her, God. And Lord, of course, we've not, any of us, been perfect in things. We do the best we can with who we are. But Lord, we just thank you for dealing with all parties involved, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we just thank you for your will to be done, Lord, in your kingdom to come in this life, Lord, in Davy's life, Lord God, in these children's life. Lord, you know all things, God. You know the hearts of men. You know the hearts of women. You know all about everything, God. There's nothing that is hid from you. Nothing that is hidden from you, Lord. God, we thank you that you're all sufficient, God. I hear the Lord say, I am the all-sufficient one for you. I heard that very clear. That he is all-sufficient. That means that he is going to supply and he is going to bring to the table what is needed. Even if it's reconciliation, I'm not hearing anything but a definite that I am the all-sufficient one. What would he be saying in that? That he is going to supply everything that in him, as you seek him, that there's not going to be one thing that goes missing in this, that you're to seek his face, that he's going to bring it to pass. I mean, he works with wills, and of course your husband's will is involved in this, and he can, he can turn and walk away, and he can turn away as much as anybody can turn away and walk away from God. They can turn away and walk away from you, but God can make them most miserable until they come back, if they will, and he will. Of course, he's not going to. We're not any of us robots, but he sure can make it miserable for someone. Iris, do you have anything?
Just a type of a woman being in the desert, and how she was alone and thirsty, and they had no water. It's Hagar. It's in Genesis 21:19, how she was separated from Abraham, and she had needs. And her children's cry, she could hear her son cry, and lots of times it causes grief whenever you see your children suffering, going through things that, family goes through. The Lord wants to heal that. But she saw a well, and there was water there. And Jesus said, you know, I'll give you living water. You'll never thirst again. It'll satisfy you, and you can drink of him. You can drink of him. And I don't know why, but while I was hearing that, but it was a wilderness she was like in, and she was, you know, driven away from everybody. She was alone, but God heard heard the cries, and then the voice of the lad, and the Lord hears your children, you know, their desires. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, you know, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad. And he saw Hagar, he came to her, and the Lord sees you, and he sees your children. But he told her to arise and lift up, you know, and to get up. And to keep your eyes on the Lord. And God opened her eyes, and she saw the well. And the Lord's going to open your eyes so you can see things, eyes of your understanding enlightened, some things you're disappointed in, and it's caused grief. The Lord will walk you through it and heal you.
Right. I think, too, I'm not saying that your eyes hasn't been on him, but I remember when I was going through stuff, some pretty bad stuff, I was pregnant, and my husband was out of town, and I begged him not to leave and go on a business trip. I said, I'm afraid I'm going to have this baby while you're gone. He went ahead and went on the business trip, and he went for a 2-week business trip. And I start to go in labor, and I told God, I said, God, my husband's not here, and I don't want to go in labor. I want you to stop this labor because I want to wait on him to be here with me. And the Lord spoke to me, and I didn't want to tell you the truth, Davey, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear what the Lord said. And now, knowing what I know now, looking back on the years, I should have just I should have responded to the Lord in a much different manner. But I remember sitting on the edge of my bed, kind of whiny, saying, in fact, I was going, God, I'm not having this baby today. Let's do plan B here. And that's kind of how I was thinking. And the Lord spoke very clear in my ear. It wasn't audible, but I heard him. I knew I was going to have that baby that day. He said, Tom's not here, but I am. And I knew by that, you're going to have this baby. And what I'm trying to relay to you, that your husband's not there, but he is. And he's saying to you, I am sufficient. I am the all-sufficient one. The Lord was saying to me that day, like, I'm daddy and I'm here. I'm daddy God, and I will take care of business for you. And boy, did he ever. Iris can vouch for that. But so many times we just feel alone and we want what we want. You know? But he's wanting us. He's working in you through this. And I know you know this, Davey. If we allow him to build our relationship, and we take that time to build our relationship with the Lord, so that when these spouses do, if they do come back, or if they do, you know, whatever, that we'll be in better condition, you know, for them. So, you have anything to say, or would you like us to pray a certain way, or what? Bless your heart.
You're right. I felt like I was in a desert and I was all alone. And I know God's here. You know, I do know that. I've clung to him for the last 2 years. I've been through so much. And, you know, my husband ran around on me and I had two nervous breakdowns and he turned against me because of that. And so he took the kids. He said, I attacked him. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, it's been going on 2 years. I didn't get to see my kids for 6 months. And now I haven't seen them for 2 months. And, you know, it's just, oh, so much has come against me. For example, with, you know, when the doctor kept trying to call me, who was supposed to do the psych eval, my phone kept messing up. And a friend of mine I was trying to talk to her about it, and she kept hearing stuff in the phone. And then I started hearing stuff in the, you know, phone eventually. And, you know, it was, and we prayed against it, and it stopped. So, I mean, it's that there is some element of things coming against me and against them.
Absolutely. And listen, I hate to interrupt you because, oh my gosh, if you only knew who you're talking to and what I've been through and what she's been through, Iris, my goodness, God has put you in the right place, and you need to call back next Tuesday night and you need to call tonight for, have you called in Randy's show?
I have not yet, no.
Okay,
we
want to minister to you, and there's so many things to share with you. I've been through that. I've had, hocus pocus pulled on me to try to make me look bad and they're being bad. I've had it all, and God is, I'm telling you, Davey, God has brought me through it all. I mean, miracles. Iris can vouch for it.
He's going to bring
right. Yeah. Lies being told, all kind of stuff.
She got banged back and more.
Right. So God says, I'm the all-sufficient one. He's going to take care of biz. Davey, when he says, I'm going to take care of biz, he's going to take care of biz. I am the I am that's on it. I am here. It's what he's saying to you. So,
and just remember that, you know, Sarah was, you know, being mean to her, and how that the Lord saw all that and he, you know, provided for her and ministered and called her and had a holy angel with her.
I'm going to text Randy. I want you to call back in and listen to the show tonight at 10 o'clock, okay? And he will start taking callers. I'm going to text. You're the 470 number, right?
Yes, Sam.
Okay. Call back in the same number. He's going to be on, and I will text him and tell him that you're on, okay? And it wouldn't hurt for you. Iris, do you have his text number?
Yeah. The number is, here it is. The text number is 214.
Say it again.
Okay. The number is 1-214-460-4997.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We love you, and God is with you. Call back Tuesday night, okay? And Randy, God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Thank you. I wish I could talk to everybody, but we've got to go. God bless. Good night.
God Cheryl. Bless. Thank you.
Cheryl.
Iris, yeah. What?
Wait a minute. Here's another text number. Take this down. Because there was two text numbers from Randy. The number is 1-214.
214.
505-8719.
Okay. That's the right one there. I don't know what she gave you before.
Okay, so do I, just for clarification, I call him once his show starts. That's when I do.
Yes.
Now, this is a text number. You call in the same way you called in Cheryl just now.
So go ahead and text it now.
You can, yeah, whenever, but I don't even know what I was going to say. Just call in. He'll start taking callers about 30 minutes after he starts the show, usually. You can text him, but you can text him when he starts taking callers. That's the best, one of the best times.
Okay.
Yeah, this last number, front one.
Okay.
All right.
Last number. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless
you.
Good night. Yes. All right. Good night.